As we get into the message now, we're going to transition from prayer time into the message time right now. So we are continuing in our series through the book of Philippians called Choose Joy. That's the name of our series. It's called Choose Joy. And today we're still in chapter 1, looking at verses 12 through 18. If you want to go ahead and start making your way there, verses 12 through 18. As we start, I want to share with you the story of a young woman named Lauren. Lauren is a young woman who has a heart to lead worship, and she was excited because she had taken her first job as a worship leader at a church in Illinois. A few days before she was supposed to start her new job, Lauren and her mom traveled to Illinois to help her move into her apartment in the city where the church was. And after a long day of moving and unpacking, they decided to go to a movie theater to catch a movie just to enjoy the evening. While they were at the movie theater, Lauren suddenly started not feeling well and started having pain in her head. She ended up having a seizure and had to be rushed to the hospital. After running several tests, the doctors discovered a rather large tumor that was growing on Lauren's brain. This led to even more surgeries to have the tumor removed. Lauren and her family were devastated because of this new reality that they had to live with, and they were also devastated because of the fact that Lauren would not be able to fulfill her dream of becoming a worship leader at that time. Last week, I spoke with Lauren's dad, and he informed me that Lauren's tumor has since come back. And while he is heartbroken, we also talked about faith in Jesus. And here's what I discovered while talking with him. Although their family never wanted this to happen to their daughter, and although they never expected anything like this to happen, countless people have actually found strength and encouragement from the faith that this family has kept. Because of what Lauren went through and is going through, amazing gospel conversations about the faithfulness and the goodness of Jesus have happened that would not have happened otherwise had Lauren not gotten sick. So get this, the gospel has actually advanced and spread through Lauren's sickness. And a lot more people know about Jesus and have heard the name of Jesus because of what this family is going through. Here's the main point of today's sermon. None of us likes to go through trials, hardships, and suffering. But that might be the exact thing God uses to advance the gospel. And if we keep a godly perspective during our problems in life, we can see how God actually uses our problems and our trials and our struggles and our hardships to accomplish his purposes. This is the point that Paul is trying to make in our passage today. He wants them to keep this in mind. God uses problems to advance the gospel. God uses problems to advance the gospel. And in particular, from today's passage, I think we're going to see that God can use hard times in your life and in my life to advance the gospel in three ways. He can advance the gospel in non-believers. He can advance the gospel in believers, and he can advance the gospel in ourselves. So in non-believers, in believers, and in ourselves. So with that, as an introduction, if you would stand with me as we continue in Philippians, starting with chapter 1, verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel, what? Without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is, and hear what Paul says here, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. Amen. And because of this, I rejoice. And then look what he says as he ends. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. This is the word of God. You may be seated. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. It's important to keep in mind that God is sovereign over all the events in our lives. Let me say that again. God is sovereign over every event in your life. Nothing that you encounter or experience happens by chance. Everything, even down to the smallest detail that you may not even be aware of, has been divinely timed and orchestrated by God and falls under the control of God. So it's within this sovereignty, this exact sovereignty, that God allows the Apostle Paul to be arrested and placed in a Roman prison. Paul had been arrested for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus in certain regions, and he's now in prison in Rome awaiting trial. And it's because of this arrest and being placed in this prison that Paul now comes into contact with a group of men who are part of what's called the palace guard. The palace guard. Who are these men? Who's the palace guard? Sometimes they're known as the imperial guard. And think of them as basically like the emperor's private army. They were handpicked by the emperor himself. And they were this like elite group of men who were considered the best hand-to-hand combat fighters in Rome. So being a member of the palace guard was very prestigious. It was a prestigious thing to belong to because it meant you served the direct will of the emperor. And as the palace guard, they did a lot for the emperor. But one of their duties that they would do is that they were the ones who were assigned to watch over certain prisoners who were in Rome. And the emperor was the one who would assign them to do this. So when a prisoner was sent to Rome, if the emperor decided you were a high threat, or if he just wanted to keep like a close watch on you for whatever reason, he would assign the palace guard to you, to your cell. So in our passage today, Paul is one of the prisoners who has been chosen by the emperor to be under the careful watch of the palace guard. But here's what Paul knew about these men. They needed Jesus. They needed Jesus. on the outside. Remember, it was a super prestigious job, and it was a job that just many men dreamed of, and everybody wanted to be part of this, but they didn't have Jesus. So here's what Paul does. Here's how it worked. The palace guard would work in groups, and every 4 hours, they would rotate shifts, and a new set of guards would come in and watch Paul. What do you think Paul did to pass the time with these men? He talked with them about Jesus. He shared the love of Jesus. He shared what Jesus has done in his life and the saving grace of Jesus. He witnessed to them. And he didn't just do this like once or twice. He did it consistently. He made it a habit of sharing Jesus with these guards when they would rotate and a new set would come in every 4 hours. He would share Jesus and a new set would come in. He would share Jesus. He did this over and over and over again, which is why Paul says what he says in verses 12 and 13. It has become clear to these men that he's in chains for Christ. In other words, what Paul is saying is the whole reason he's in chains, the whole reason he's in prison, the whole reason he was arrested, the reason Jesus orchestrated this for him to be sent to this specific prison at this specific time is because it gave him an opportunity to share Jesus with these specific men. It's the whole reason Jesus had him sent to this prison. And this doesn't necessarily mean that they all accepted Christ, but what it does mean is that they heard about Jesus. They were made aware of Jesus because Paul was in this prison. So think about what's happening here. Think about how God is working in this moment. God is divinely orchestrating things here. He sent Paul to this prison to talk to these men. But what else is going on here? Paul is sensitive to the Holy Spirit's moving. And he's courageous enough to notice this opportunity and take full advantage of it to tell people about Jesus. So I think what Paul is doing here is showing us what it really looks like. Get this. He's showing us what it really looks like to live on mission, understanding that the mission field may not always look like you want it to. It may not always look like what you expected, but he's on mission. Paul says, listen, I wasn't expecting to end up sitting in this jail, but here I am, and I trust God, and if God led me here, it's for a reason. And I'm going to make the most of this opportunity to tell others about Jesus. And so because of this, what happens? The gospel is advancing even through this. So Paul has the opportunity, he has the awareness, and he has the boldness to share. That's what we want to have in our lives. We want to have the opportunity, the awareness of it, and then the boldness to share. That's the formula that we're seeing. That's what we want. Let me say that again. We want God to give us the opportunity to share. We want to be aware of it. Like, we don't want to just be so caught up in what we're doing that we miss the Holy Spirit's movement. So the opportunity plus the awareness plus the boldness to share. We don't want to just like be aware of the Spirit telling us to share and then we completely ignore it. Opportunity, awareness, boldness to share. So Paul views sitting in prison not just as something just to grind through until he gets out, but as ground for evangelism. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say like, I can't wait to get out of this prison so I can get back to telling people about Jesus. What does he do? He takes advantage of the opportunity that's right in front of him to tell people about Jesus for the glory of Jesus. He doesn't complain. He carries the message. He doesn't whine. He witnesses. He doesn't pout. He pours into others. He doesn't just endure. He evangelizes. He evangelizes. And we have to remember the whole reason Paul was able to do any of this wasn't because he's such a good person or anything like that. It's because he submitted to the Holy Spirit working in his life. He submitted to the Holy Spirit. And I think this is important for us and for our spiritual growth. We got to pray, like, Holy Spirit, do like Paul did, Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Open my eyes so that I don't miss opportunities that you've given me, the people right in front of me, so I can, like, see people. And I can be aware of opportunities. Holy Spirit, open my eyes to the people who need to hear about you. We got to be aware of it. The opportunity could be there. We want to be aware of it. Then we want to be bold. But we also have to pray, like as soon as it happened, Holy Spirit, let me not just, like, try to do my own thing. Let me not just, like, make excuses for not sharing. Let me just take where you've put me and take advantage of that. Because I think if we're not careful, we can fall into this mindset of, like, okay, as soon as this happens or as soon as life looks like this, then I'll be more confident and more comfortable, and I'll be settled and ready to share with my faith with others. So we can say things like, as soon as I learn more about the Bible, then I'll tell people about Jesus. Well, like, none of us know everything about the Bible, but what do you know? Jesus loves you, Jesus saved you, and Jesus sent you. Jesus loves you, Jesus saved you, and Jesus sent you. And if you, like, really get that into your spirit, we won't ever know everything about the Bible, but you know enough. You know enough to go out into the world and share Jesus with others. Sometimes people say, okay, as soon as I have a spouse, I'll have someone to do ministry with. Well, wherever season God has placed you in, share Jesus now. As soon as I have kids, I'll be able to invest in the next generation. No, share Jesus now. As soon as I have a better neighborhood, I'll start inviting people over. No, share Jesus now. We don't want to get so, like, as soon as this happens, or as soon as life looks like this, or as soon as life looks better, I'm going to, like, start sharing faith with Jesus. Wherever Jesus has placed you now is where he has placed you now. Amen. And you can start sharing Jesus now. Don't forget, God has you where you are for a reason. Even if it's not where you would have chosen. There's people in your life who need to hear the gospel right now. And in fact, it might be the very reason he brought you to where you are now, so the gospel can advance through you. So I love the fact that Paul didn't wait until he got out of prison to keep sharing Jesus. He didn't put his ministry on hold. He didn't press pause. He didn't press the pause button while he was in jail. He kept doing it, even in prison. So your mission field won't always be a field of dreams, but it's where you are now. The house you live in now, the job you have now, the church you have now. We want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit moving in our lives now, because we can sometimes get so caught up in, I will do this when this happens. No, he wants to advance the gospel through us now. And this doesn't mean that, like, God doesn't move us in new seasons or close chapters, but what this does show us is this. It shows us this. Don't let where you are stop you from proclaiming who he is. Don't let where you are stop you from proclaiming who he is. It's the beautiful thing about what Paul does here. He's on the mission field. He's a missionary. He's out sharing and telling people about Jesus. He gets arrested and he keeps doing it. So you don't have to, like let where you are stop you from what Jesus has called you to do. Wherever you are, share it. I was at a retirement party for a pastor last week. My wife and I, for a missions pastor named Dave Gibson. Dave Gibson has an amazing story where once he suffered a mild heart attack. And, like, they called the ambulance, and he got rushed to the hospital in the ambulance. And in the ambulance, what does he do? He shares Jesus with the ambulance driver and with the worker. Now he's in, like, going to the hospital because of a mild heart attack. But he says, you know what? If Jesus has led me into this ambulance and there's this worker right here who's taking my vitals, I might as well share Jesus with this woman. And then I might as well share Jesus with the man who's driving. So he doesn't like wait till he heals and recovers and then gets back into the office to keep like being on the mission field. He realizes, listen, the mission field is right here, right now. And maybe the reason, I love what he said, maybe the reason Jesus had me have this heart attack is so that he can like bring these ambulance workers to me right now so that I can share Jesus with them right now. So like life doesn't have to be perfect and pretty for us to do it. The people that Jesus brings into your life, share him. Talk about it. Do it. And listen, I get it. I totally get it. Like sharing Jesus with others can be hard. It can be hard because we might face rejection and ridicule and you might lose some friends. Well, if you lose them because you share Jesus, they weren't friends to begin with. I'll just say that. So you might lose people. Your family may look at you differently. Coworkers, they might stop inviting us to go to lunch. It can be hard. And we can like operate in this like what if faith. Like what if this happens? Oh man, what if that happens? I mean, we don't want to have what if faith. Amen. We want to have bold faith. And that doesn't come from us. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So if you're like one of the few people at your job that's a Christian, don't let that stop you. If you're one of the few people at your school who's a Christian, don't let that stop you. If you're one of the few people on your team who's a Christian, don't let that stop you. Maybe that's the exact reason why Jesus gave you that job, put you at that school, put you on that team so that you can be the light for those people. Amen? Amen. So Paul, he does this. He tells the palace guard about Jesus. And when he does this, what happens? Like word spreads from the palace guard. So like he can't go outside of the prison and tell people about Jesus and then come back in the prison. He just talks to the palace guard. But look what it says in verse 13. Like other people are becoming aware of this. So his evangelism and his sharing his faith is having this ripple effect, where he's shared it with them, and then they're starting to like tell, like, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. Again, we don't know how many people truly accepted the message, but what we do know is because of Paul's boldness, a lot of people heard the name of Jesus. Your sharing. This is why, let me slow down here. Okay, this is why I love the word, I love verse 13. It says like, it's clear to the palace guard and everyone else. So like, when you share with someone, they could then tell others and it could spread all because of your boldness and your courage and your faithfulness. Paul's in prison sharing with these men, and now other people outside of the prison are hearing about this. So the gospel is advancing through unbelievers. Your boldness, your faith, your courage, the gospel can advance through unbelievers. They hear about it. But you know who else hears about it? I love this. People who already believe in Jesus. They hear about this. Look what Paul says in verse 14. Verse 14. Oh, tuck this away. Highlight, underline, do something with verse 14. I love it. And because of my chains, in other words, because I'm in prison, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So notice what's happening here. Two things are happening at the same time. Paul's in prison, and because of that, people who have never heard the name of Jesus now hear the name. That's the first thing. But also people who have placed their trust in Jesus, they become stronger in their faith. And they become like more bold to share about Jesus. And they become like stronger Christians. And they care less about what people are thinking, all because of what they hear and see Paul doing. Like the reason they're stronger in their faith is not just because Paul is spreading his faith from prison, but because the faith keeps spreading despite him being in prison. Like, they're not just stronger, but yeah, he's in prison and he's doing this. It's because he's in prison and it keeps going. Like it doesn't stop. So here's what these believers see. They see a man, get this, they see a man arrested for sharing the gospel, thrown in prison so he can stop sharing the gospel. And yet, despite all of this, the gospel keeps going. Like, he's arrested for sharing the gospel. The whole reason they throw him in prison is so he can stop sharing the gospel. And yet the gospel keeps spreading. And when these believers, when they see that, and when they like truly get this into their spirits, they realize, okay, this faith that we have in Jesus, not even prison walls and the palace guard can stop it from going out. Get that? Like, not even prison walls and the palace guard can stop the message of Jesus. So you be encouraged. Like, there's nothing you can ever face. There's no opposition. There's no obstacle. There's no hatred or envy or evilness. There's like the message of Jesus, the spirit of Jesus that's inside of you. You be bold to share it. Because you will never go to a place that is stronger than the gospel of Jesus. So stand strong on your job, at school. If it can go outside of a Roman prison wall with the palace guard standing right there, it can work in your life too. So they become even more bold to share the message that's inside of them because they see that it's unstoppable. Do we really realize the spirit that's inside of you? It's unstoppable. Now, not everyone's going to accept it, but no one can stop it. No one can stop it. And here's the amazing thing. It's inside of you. You have it. You have the most unstoppable thing on the face of the earth. Jesus said this would happen. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 18. He's talking to Peter. I'm going to put this on the screen. This is what Jesus said to him. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And look at what he says to Peter. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Will not overcome the message of the gospel that is inside of you. In other words, hell itself cannot stop the gospel. But I think there's another great example. Can you tell that I love the word of God by how many times I say I love the word of God? I love the word of God. Oh, I said it again. But in other words, anyway, I think there's another great example of this in Acts chapter 7 and 8. It's with the stoning of a man named Stephen. So Stephen gets stoned to death because he's basically telling people about their sins and he's sharing the gospel. They stone him because they want him to, read this when you get a chance, they stone him, Acts 7 and 8, because they want him to stop. And on that day, it says like a great persecution broke out. And what happened to the people who, like the believers who left? So they leave. What happens? They just take the message to wherever they go. So they stoned him because they wanted him to stop, and they wanted, get this, they wanted Christians to be so scared that they would say, if you don't stop sharing Jesus, you're going to end up like this man. We're going to stone you to death. So they stone Stephen to try to stop the spread of the gospel. Christians say, okay, we got to get out here, but wherever they go, they just keep telling people. And it doesn't stop. So Christians throughout the ages like have faced difficulties. But what happens? The message keeps spreading through them despite what they face. And then, like, we can be encouraged when we see this in each other. and more bold to share our faith and live it out. Like when you see a fellow brother or a fellow sister go through a hard time, but they keep their faith, like that can encourage you. Like I've seen like the faithfulness of my wife, like in our marriage through certain times, and like her faith encourages me. Like when you see someone push through a hard time, that encourages and emboldens your spirit. And so I thought more about how this can touch down in our lives today. I don't think it's just about trying to stay strong through hard times that can encourage your fellow brothers and sisters. But what I do think it's about is the entire title of our series. It's when you decide to choose joy in hard times. So it's not just about like, stay strong, stay strong, stay strong, stay strong. Yeah, that can encourage our fellow brothers and sisters somewhat. But when you choose joy, when you don't just like put your head down, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to get through this hard time. When you choose joy, like that speaks volumes to each other. Amen? That's what really like encourages us. And when we do that, it strengthens us and we become bolder. So today, if you're going through a hard time, like choose joy. Choose joy. And then other people around you can be impacted. Listen, I know that our church has been through a lot. I know that Antioch has had a lot of loss. We've had some loss of families. Like, we've had some loss of children. We've had some loss of parents. Some of you experienced loss of parents. Maybe even you've had a loss of a sense of community. Just like Paul, there are a lot of things that, like as a church, we've been through that could have acted as obstacles to us living out the gospel. But I also know that this church continues to choose joy. Continue to choose joy. And because of that, because you continue to choose joy, the gospel is spreading. And we're encouraging each other. So we're going to stay strong as a church. Amen? We're going to like hold the faith. We're not going to let things stop us. We're going to continue to choose joy, even when we find ourselves in a difficult time, even when the mission field may not look like we expected. We know that the gospel is going to continue, and we pray the gospel continues to advance through us, through Antioch Community Church. Amen? Amen. So, the gospel advances in the lives of unbelievers. It advances in the lives of believers. But I think this passage also shows us that it can advance in the lives of ourselves. And I think this is what Paul is showing us from verses 15 through 18. Let me read this. It is true. This is Paul speaking from a prison. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Look what he says in verse 17. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely. Look what he says. Supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. So in this last section here, Paul identifies two groups of people. The first are people who love him and have his best interests at heart. The second group is basically a group of troublemakers who are trying to stir up trouble for Paul. And notice what they're trying to do. Look what Paul says. They're preaching Christ, but it's out of selfish ambition, hoping to stir up trouble for him. So in this context, that phrase stir up trouble, it doesn't just mean that they don't like Paul. It means that they are actively trying to get rid of Paul for good. So it's not just like in their minds that they don't like Christ, that they don't like Paul. They're trying to like do things to get rid of him. But what does he say at the end? Let's read this together again. Let's read this together. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. So for Paul, people doing things against him and doing things to harm him and doing things out of selfish ambition, that wasn't as important as the fact that Jesus was still going forward and he was still being preached. And people were still hearing about the name of Jesus. So because the gospel was advancing, he didn't have to like worry about other people because he had something that they could not stop, no matter how hard they tried. And so I think this shows us that when the gospel is advancing in your own life, it allows you to be able to concentrate on the things that truly matter. When the gospel is advancing in your life, you can concentrate and focus on the things of God, the things that truly matter, and not the things of the world. And yes, you might face barriers, you might face obstacles, but you don't let them throw you off your gospel game because you know who is in charge. We know who is in charge, amen? His name is Jesus. So when the gospel is advancing, things that maybe used to be a big deal for you, they fade in importance to the things of Jesus. And when we face things, just like Paul says here, we can rejoice and we can continue to rejoice. So the gospel is advancing. And because of that, we can choose joy. It advances in unbelievers. It advances in believers, and it advances in us. Amen? Amen. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that when we placed our trust in you, we came into a kingdom that is unstoppable. And we see this in our passage today. Help us to rely and trust on your strength, that nothing we encounter, nothing we face, nothing the world throws out at us can throw us off our gospel game. Because the message of Jesus is stronger. Lord, help us to be aware of the natural opportunities that you give us to share Jesus. But not just be aware of it, help us to have a boldness to then act on it. We don't want to just have an opportunity, be aware of it, and then ignore it. We don't want to like throw a wet blanket on the Holy Spirit. We want to do something with it. We want to pray with someone. We want to share Jesus with someone. Help us to do that. Even today, Jesus, even this week, as we do things, as we go about our lives, make us open our eyes. Help us to be sensitive to these opportunities, to people around us who need to hear about you, Jesus. We don't want to just be so caught up in our lives and what we're doing and what we need to do and checking off our checklist that we miss people. Help us to see others and to see their need for you. Give us the words to say. Many times sharing you can be fearful. It can be scary because we may not know what to say, or we're scared if someone asks a question that we don't know the answer to, or if they ask something about the Bible that we don't know an answer to. And because of that, sometimes it's easy to shrink back in fear. We don't want to do that. Give us a boldness. Give us the exact words to say as we share what you have done in our lives. And even if someone doesn't accept, we know that we've done what you've called us to do. We've given someone the name of Jesus. Help us to be bold for you. We pray this in your name. Amen.